ACCA podcast. Aspects of Tax Administration in Malaysia, Part 2. This two-part podcast is relevant to candidates preparing for the P6 MYS Advanced Taxation Exam. The podcast is based on the prevailing laws as at the 31st of March 2017. Candidates are presumed to have a working knowledge of the subject matter. This podcast collates and discusses the provisions in the Income Tax Act 1967 and the Real Property Gains Tax Act 1976. While listening to this podcast, you might find it helpful to refer where necessary to the relevant provisions of the two acts as amended and the relevant public rulings issued by the Inland Revenue Board, IRB. This podcast is relevant to the section of the syllabus and study guide falling under items A7 brackets B, B5 and B8. The areas covered are Part 1, A, Responsibilities as a Taxpayer, B, Responsibilities as an Employer, C, Rights of a Taxpayer, Part 2, D, Powers of the Director General, E, Liabilities of a Director, F, Responsibilities as a Payer or Acquirer, G, Statutory Time Bar, H, Advance or Private Rulings, and I, Tax Audits and Investigations. D, Powers of the Director General. The Director General's powers include due authority to do the following. 1. Call for a specific return and production of books. 2. Call for bank account statements. 3. Require full and free access to all lands, buildings, places, books, documents, objects, articles, materials, and things. 4. Require any person to provide information or particulars within a time specified for the purposes of the Act, and which may be in possession or control of that individual. 5. Prevent a person from leaving Malaysia. A certificate can be issued under Section 104 of the Tax Act 1967 and Section 22 of the Real Property Gains Tax Act 1976 if the Director General is of the opinion that the person may leave Malaysia without paying taxes, sums, and debts payable by them. Note: the Director General may issue a certificate to the Commissioner of Police or Director of Immigration to prevent a person from leaving Malaysia. The Director General must also serve notice personally or by registered post to the taxpayer or person. Alleged non-receipt of the notice by the person is no defence, and the taxpayer cannot sue if the certificate is issued lawfully. E. Liabilities of a Director. Compliance requirements. As a company is an unnatural person with no tangible or physical presence, the directors and the secretary of a company are jointly and severally responsible for doing all acts and things required to be done by the company. This includes the various compliance requirements, such as furnishing of tax returns, information, etc. Personal liability. For a director who, directly or indirectly, holds at least 20% of the ordinary share capital of the company, there is a more onerous liability with regard to the company. They are jointly and severally liable to pay any tax, income tax or real property gains tax, or debt liable to be paid by that company. The aforementioned debt includes sums due and payable by the company as an employer and also in respect of withholding tax provisions. By extension, the person on whom the Section 104 or Section 22 certificate is issued may be an individual in his personal capacity or in his capacity as a director of a company. Deemed interest on loan to a director. Another liability relating to a director who controls not less than 20% of the ordinary share capital pertains to loans or advances. Where a company makes a loan or advance to such a director from its internal funds, the company is deemed to have derived interest income at the prevailing average commercial lending rate from such loans or advances for that basis period. Note: Refer to section 140B, brackets 2 and 3, for the details relating to the calculations and treatment of such interest income. It is to be noted that the interest income thus deemed derived by the company is compulsorily treated, by virtue of section 4B, as interest income of the company under section 4C, rather than as part of business income under section 4A. Also, note that this provision aims to impose tax on the company for making loans or advances to a director at low or no interest. There is no wish to treat it as a corresponding taxable benefit on the director. F. Responsibilities as a payer or acquirer. Payments to non-residents. If a resident or a non-resident person carrying out business in Malaysia makes a payment of interest, a royalty, technical services, rent for the use of movable property, other income under Section 4F, or contract payments to a non-resident, the payer is obliged to withhold tax at specified rates and pay over the sum to the Director General within 1 month of paying or crediting the payment. The penalty for non-compliance or late compliance is: the payer has to bear the withholding tax and pay it over to the Director General. There is also a penalty of 10% of the withholding for the late compliance, and until these amounts are paid, the payer will not be given a tax deduction for the payments made to the non-resident. There is a right of appeal for the payer under Section 109H, provided the withholding tax has been paid, the non-resident recipient has not appealed, and the payment in question has not been disallowed under Section 39 in arriving at the adjusted income of the payer. Payments to an agent, dealer, or distributor. If a company makes a payment to an agent, dealer, or distributor, the company is required to prepare and complete a prescribed form, CP 58, containing particulars of the recipients of payment, whether in cash or otherwise, and provide the information when called for by the Director General. Acquirer of real property or shares in Malaysia. As an acquirer of a real property or real property company shares, there is a duty to do the following within 60 days after the purchase date: to make a return in respect of the asset acquired, and to withhold the entire cash consideration restricted to 3% of the purchase price and pay over to the Director General. If the acquirer fails to retain the money, that amount plus a 10% penalty is payable from them to the government. If the consideration is not in cash, hence no monies to be retained, and both the acquirer and the disposer fail to furnish their real property gains tax return, the Director General may make an assessment on the acquirer equal to the real property gains tax payable by the disposer. This is onerous indeed for the acquirer. Therefore, due compliance in furnishing the return and retaining the money by the acquirer is of utmost importance. G. Statutory time bar. Generally 5 years. The general time bar under the Tax Act 1967 and the Real Property Gains Tax Act 1976 is 5 years after the end of the relevant year of assessment. The fact that queries have been raised or a tax audit has been conducted does not extend that 5-year period. Illustration 6. ABC closes its accounts annually to the 31st of December. ABC submitted the annual tax return for the year of assessment 2010 on the 20th of July 2011. In August 2014, the IRB conducted a tax audit on ABC and disallowed some expenses based on differing technical interpretation. An additional assessment dated the 12th of January 2016 was raised. The year of assessment 2010 ends on the 31st of December 2010. The 5 years after the 31st of December 2010 run from the 1st of January 2011 and end on the 31st of December 2015. Therefore, the additional assessment for the year of assessment 2010 was time-barred. The tax audit in August 2014 was not an assessment, neither does it reset the 5-year time bar to 2014. fraud, willful default, or negligence. The 5-year time bar does not apply if it appears to the Director General that there is any form of fraud, willful default, or negligence. In this case, the Director General may make an assessment at any time for any year of assessment. Fraud involves omission, false statement or entry in a return, false answers, false books or records, falsification of books or records, fraud, art and contrivance, all of which involve mens rea, i.e. intention. Transfer pricing adjustments. For transfer pricing adjustments, however, the time bar is 7 years, as provided for specifically in Section 91, brackets 5 of the Tax Act 1967. Death. The Director General has 3 years from the end of the year in which they were notified of the death of the taxpayer. For more on this, listen to Illustration 3 in Part 1 of this podcast. Group relief. In Section 44A, brackets 9, in respect of group relief, the time bar is 5 years after the year during which the Director General discovers that the loss relief ought not to have been deducted in arriving at the total income of the claimant company. The Director General may raise an assessment or additional assessment on the claimant to make good any loss of tax. What is more, the Director General may also penalise the surrendering company for giving incorrect information by issuing a notice in writing requiring the surrenderer to pay a penalty equal to the amount of tax undercharged on the claimant company. Illustration 7. For the year of assessment 2010, a loss of 200,000 Malaysian ringgits was surrendered by Ruji to its fellow group company, Untung. On the 20th of December 2015, a tax audit conducted on Ruji led to a revised tax loss of only 50,000 Malaysian ringgits. The Director General is said to have discovered, on the 20th of December 2015, that the loss relief of 150,000 Malaysian ringgits, 200,000 minus 50,000, ought not to have been deducted in arriving at the total income of Untung. The Director General has 5 years from the 1st of January 2016, i.e. till the 31st of December 2020, to raise the additional assessment on Untung, to collect tax on the 150,000 Malaysian ringgits loss overclaimed by Untung, and to require Ruji to pay a penalty equal to the tax undercharged on Untung. H. Advance or private rulings. An advance ruling is a private ruling issued by the IRB on application by the taxpayer on the specific tax treatment to be accorded to the taxpayer. This is specifically provided for in Section 138B. The taxpayer can apply for an advance ruling when they encounter some transactions or circumstances for which they would like some certainty in the tax treatment going forward. The application is made in a prescribed form, a fee is charged by the IRB, and may apply for a specified period. The Director General reserves the right to withdraw the advance ruling. The ruling also does not apply if the arrangement is materially different from that stated in the ruling, there was omission or misrepresentation, the assumption upon which the ruling was made subsequently proves to be incorrect, or the stipulated conditions were not satisfied. I. Tax audit and investigation. Under the self-assessment system, tax auditing, desk audit or field audit, is a primary activity to encourage voluntary compliance with tax laws. The visit is pre-scheduled and due notice is given to the taxpayer to prepare and make available the relevant records and documents for examination by the IRB. Tax audits will normally cover the open years, i.e. those assessments which are not time-barred. Tax investigation, on the other hand, involves the surprise element, the raid, i.e. a simultaneous searching of multiple premises of the taxpayer's activities and residence for evidence that would otherwise not be disclosed. Tax investigation may unravel some element of fraud, willful default, or negligence, which may render it criminal in nature. The period covered by a tax investigation may exceed the 5 years if there is evidence suggesting fraud, willful default, or negligence. Candidates are encouraged to refer to the following IRB guidelines for more details to obtain a comprehensive understanding. Tax Investigation Framework, dated the 1st of October 2013, and Tax Audit Framework, dated the 1st of February 2015.